life expectancy kept going up and up in the United States for years, decades. But in the last few years, it's been slipping downward for the first time basically since World War I and the global influenza epidemic 100 years ago. Why? Rising deaths from powerful opioids and a growing number of suicides may be a big part of the story. Dr. Patrick Remington is a professor and associate dean in the UW School of Medicine and Public Health. Patrick, welcome back to the show.
Good to be back.
Well, we've got new numbers out this week from the CDC showing this decline, and it's suggesting this isn't just a one-year blip. It's not a huge drop-off, but there is an ongoing issue here, right?
It is a trend now. It's not just one year of decline, but we've had 2 years in a row where life expectancy has decreased. I think if you actually look at the number, you're surprised by the small rate of decline. It went from 78.7 years to 78.6 years, so just one-tenth of a year. But this number is based on millions of deaths, and so changing even a tenth of a year is a significant change, and it means that there are things going on in some of the leading causes of death at younger ages that we need to keep track of.
Now, life expectancy, it's kind of a blunt measure with lots of moving parts underneath it, but does this give us a pretty good indication of improving health over decades and decades and now backsliding a little bit?
Well, I think it is a very blunt measure. It's basically it's a prediction of how long a baby born today is expected to live. And right now, it's about 78 to 79 years of age. But it's made up of death rates by all the subgroups, by different age groups, by men and women, by people of different races, and different communities. So it's a very blunt instrument, but it's used internationally, and as such, it's a good way to sort of ask the question, how are we doing overall? Are we achieving the goal of longer and healthier lives for all? And that the answer would be no. We're moving in the opposite direction of shorter lives, and then you have to really dig deeper to look at the underlying reasons for this change.
And the CDC report looks at, as you mentioned, causes of death for people not at the very oldest years, but in younger life or middle age. And common, the big story here seems to be opioids and suicide. Before we separate those, are there common themes you see as we look at those two causes of death?
Well, there are, and in fact, the term deaths of despair has been used. We produced a paper last year that was entitled The Epidemic of Despair in America, because the leading causes of the decrease in life expectancy, the death rates that are climbing, are related to self-destructive behaviors, things like suicide, drug overdose, liver disease due to alcohol abuse, and obesity is underlying many of the cardiovascular diseases that we haven't seen as much decline as we'd like.
What?
So, yeah, go ahead.
Why, as a society, would we be seeing these diseases of despair on the rise?
Well, that's a easy question without a simple answer. People have pointed towards challenging economic times for people, particularly following the Great Recession, where opportunities are not as good as they might have been 10 or 20 years ago. We're looking particularly at availability of opioids and through prescriptions, but also availability on the street. And really, suicide and opioid overdose and drug overdose are really symptoms of this underlying problem. There are reasons why people seek pain relief, why people eventually commit suicide. And our system really hasn't been addressing those underlying root causes. We aren't as good as we need to be at identifying depression and treating it appropriately, particularly in populations that are hard to reach.
Talking to Dr. Patrick Remington from the UW School of Medicine and Public Health, looking at new numbers from the CDC backing up what they've been saying over the last couple of years, small but significant significant declines in life expectancy in the United States after years and years of that going up. Opioids and suicide, two big parts of the story. And it looks like looking at the causes of death related to opioids, a lot of the story, Patrick, is related in large part to things like fentanyl and its close relatives, legal and illegal. These more powerful opioids seem to be linked to a lot of the increase in death. Do I have that right?
That's correct. Early on, we were concerned about the overprescription of opioids, for example, following a dental procedure or back pain. But what we've discovered is that the reason for the dramatic increase in deaths are the synthetic opioids. And these are very dangerous. They're not predictable. And people who overdose and die as a result, there are often no suicide notes left. People wonder whether this was a self-destructive behavior that was in effect a suicide, but we think not. We think that these are people who are suffering, who are using synthetic opioids. Sometimes they don't even know that it's what's in the opioid that they're using. So it's a very dangerous drug. It can be lead to death suddenly, and again, people are using it for pain control and really solving some issues in their life, not realizing the potential fatality or lethality of the drug.
Let me lay out a scenario and see if you think this is a common thing. Somebody maybe gets a milder opioid like Vicodin for, back pain. They got it work, something like that. They take it for a while. The supply dries up. They get a hold of something like this fentanyl on the street from a friend, wherever. Pill, maybe it's roughly the same size. They're used to that Vicodin dose, and now they're taking something stronger, and they have no idea how much stronger that is.
Absolutely. That's a scenario that plays over and over again. The challenge is that as we attempt to look at this epidemic and to try and address it in many fronts, providers have definitely begun to scrutinize the use of prescriptions for routine pain. I think anybody listening to this radio show may have had an experience where you've gone in the past and you might have gotten a prescription, and now those aren't given routinely. Or, if people have visited the emergency room with significant pain and they go home with Tylenol. Those are appropriate prescriptions now, and that's a change. But for people who are addicted, that change in prescribing patterns can lead to people seeking other forms of pain relief, and synthetic opioids are clearly more dangerous and a big risk factor in the increasing rates of overdose deaths.
A lot more to be said about opioids, but I do want to look at the suicide rate. Now, The Economist just had this global look at suicide rates around the world, those rates going down in country after country, plummeting in a place like Russia where they'd been very high, going up gradually here in the United States recently. Why are we going up as most of the rest of the world is going down when it comes to suicide?
Well, again, suicide is a complex public health problem. Since 1999, our suicide rates have gone up by a third. So it is another major public health crisis. And there are the root causes of suicide, and then there's the mechanism of suicide. And you really need both. And in this country, we have a mental health care system that really isn't as effective as it could be. We don't have public providers that reach people who are particularly at need. And so oftentimes, suicide is a last resort for somebody seeking mental health services. And then the lethal means. Firearms are readily available, and it's a lethal means. More people die in this state and in this country from gunshot wounds to themselves than die from murders and homicides. So having a mental health crisis along with availability of a lethal means is really a crisis. And we have to have a comprehensive approach. We have to better understand how to reach people who might have depression, and also how to address reducing access to lethal means, particularly people who are at risk.
I've talked to you about these issues before, and you and a lot of your colleagues in the public health community have been sounding the alarm about these diseases of despair for a while, I think before they were in the public eye. Do you see actual effective action being taken now by policymakers, people in the medical professions and beyond?
I think there's still a disconnect. The social media tag, this is our lane, is a good example where the healthcare providers are talking about firearm injuries, suicide being one important cause. I think you're going to see more and more healthcare systems and healthcare providers reaching outside of the clinic to try and work with community partners to find solutions and common ground. And I think it is a challenge because we tend to work pretty well in silos, and health systems take care of people who are really sick. But it's the people who are still struggling with a job, with depression, at risk of substance abuse and at risk of committing suicide, that those services are not well connected, and we just need to do a better job working in communities to do that.
We'll leave it there for now. Patrick, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Great. Thanks for having me.
It's Dr. Patrick Remington, professor and associate dean in the University of Wisconsin School of Medicine and Public Health.